fields that are required by this symmetry of the electroweak theory, in much the same way that the gravitational field is required by the symmetries of general relativity. Symmetries of the sort underlying the electroweak theory are called internal symmetries, because we can think of them as having to do with the intrinsic nature of the particles, rather than their position or motion. Internal symmetries are less familiar than those that act on ordinary space and time, such as those governing general relativity. You can think of each particle as carrying a little dial with a pointer that points in directions marked electron or neutrino or photon or W or anywhere in between. The internal symmetry says that the laws of nature take the same form if we rotate the markings on these dials in certain ways. Furthermore, for the sort of symmetry that governs the electroweak forces, we can rotate the dials differently for particles at different times or positions. This is much like the symmetry underlying general relativity, which allows us to rotate our laboratory, not only by some fixed angle, but also by an amount that increases with time, by placing it on a merry-go-round. The invariance of the laws of nature under a group of such position-dependent and time-dependent internal symmetry transformations is called a local symmetry, because the effect of the symmetry transformations depends on location in space and time, or a gauge symmetry, for reasons that are purely historical. It is the local symmetry between different frames of reference in space and time that makes gravitation necessary, and in much the same way, it is a second local symmetry between electrons and neutrinos, and between up quarks and down quarks and so on, that makes the existence of the photon, W, and Z fields necessary. There is yet a third exact local symmetry associated with the internal property of quarks that is fancifully known as color. We have seen that there are quarks of various types, like the up and down quarks that make up the protons and neutrons that are found in all ordinary atomic nuclei. In addition, each of these types of quarks comes in three different colors, which physicists, at least in the United States, often call red, white, and blue. Of course, this has nothing to do with ordinary color. It is merely a label used to distinguish between sub-varieties of quarks. As far as we know, there is an exact symmetry in nature among the different colors. The force between a red quark and a white quark is the same as between a white quark and a blue quark, and the force between two red quarks is the same as between two blue quarks. But this symmetry goes beyond mere exchanges of colors. In quantum mechanics, we can consider states of a single quark that are neither definitely red, nor definitely white, nor definitely blue.